rolling down your Twitter feed, and you mentioned back on the last day, it's been a long and challenging 140 days, but you're happy to announce Sonny Dye. And I chuckled because it was actually 140 days. I mean, there were some indications maybe it was going to be more than that.
Well, it wasn't, and that's great. You know, I think the people of Texas, the citizens of Texas, expect us to go to Austin and do our job and then get back and to our communities and answer for what we did. That's unlike D.C. You know, we have to go in a very specific, condensed time frame, 140 days, and pass a balanced budget and meet the needs for the state of Texas over the next 2 years. And I'm very proud that we were able to do so.
Compare your expectations before the session started to how it all played out. Have you had much time to think about that?
Yeah, I'm very pleased with some of the progress we made. I think we kept Texas moving in a very positive direction. You know, it was a conservative session, a conservative budget, very significant issues that are important to our individual freedoms and rights, like Second Amendment rights, but also regarding our border security. We doubled the amount of money that we put toward protecting the citizens along the southern border. So I think you know, the issues that we addressed were important to the people of Texas. And I'm proud to have been a participant and have been able to serve the people of Senate District 5.
On the financial side, the reduction in the business franchise tax by 25%, while property owners are supposed to be getting an average reduction of $125, which may not even cover whatever appraisal increase might come down the line.
Well, I think it's the important thing is that Texas is cutting taxes, where many other states are raising taxes. The overall tax relief and tax cut package is $4 billion, and you rightly pointed out the franchise tax cut of $2.6 billion and the homestead exemption going up another $10,000 that total amount is $1.2 billion. And then there was the occupations tax elimination of $200 million, altogether, again, $4 billion. And that, I think, is powerful for the economy of Texas to keep it energized, keep small businesses and large businesses coming and relocating to Texas. That's not just important for those businesses, but that's important for the workers and for the overall vitality of Texas.
And I was going to play off of what you just mentioned about the impact that the business cuts and the elimination of the occupational fees will have on individuals. Is that something that ought to be remembered by those who wanted a larger property tax cut on their homes?
Well, I think altogether the tax relief and tax cut package is important for Texas. And you see that now with Governor Abbott going out and selling Texas to the rest of the world and the rest of the country regarding what we've done as a legislature in Texas to keep the economic progress we've seen over the last 10 years continuing. Texas has been the economic engine of our country, and I believe with this tax package, we'll continue to do so.
This being your first legislative term in the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Patrick's first term as the leader of the Senate, your observations as a couple of newcomers.
Right. Well, you know, this is actually my second term in the Senate, and I'm proud of the leadership of Governor Patrick. I believe we had a very efficient, very productive session under Governor Patrick, and I'm proud to have been part of his leadership team, being chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee and also having served on finance and been on the conference committee for finance.
I apologize. I can't believe I've been back in the state long enough to go through through multiple legislative sessions. How much easier did you find it being in the Senate a second session?
Well, it's always easier when you've been there before, and you know, having that experience is invaluable. But each session is different. The overall topics that you address, whether it's healthcare or education or infrastructure development, those are the same types of topics. But there's nuances, and particularly about the number or the different. New members that are part of the session and the priorities of the leadership. And in this case, of course, we had a new governor and a new lieutenant governor, and the priorities were quite clear that we needed tax relief, property tax relief, and we also needed increased funding to border security. And so those things were addressed during the session, And for that reason, for many other reasons, I think it was a very productive session for the legislature, but also, a very productive session for the people of Texas.
It was also productive for you as an individual lawmaker, if you could recap some of the things that you introduced that have been signed now or will be signed before a week from now.
Well, one bill that's already been signed kind of dovetails with the increased funding to border security, and that's the bill that mandates the utilization of E-Verify in regards to state employment. You know, I think it's real important that our tax dollars are being utilized for legitimate purposes and not spent on hiring immigrants that are ineligible to work in this country legally. Another very important issue that I raised and continue to fight for is access to affordable higher education. I think the legislature has a responsibility to reevaluate the policy of deregulation that's been in place now 10 years and what it's doing to push out the ability of middle-class families and the students and children of middle-class families to obtain a higher education degree, a college degree. I think that is a vital issue, not just for those students, but also for the long-term economy of Texas, because the future workforce of Texas is going to require a college-educated individual.
If I can interrupt for just a moment,
sure.
Just to get, want to make sure I'm clear on that particular issue. Were tuition caps approved, how far did this go?
That when I tried to bring it up with every anything that had to do with higher education. I tried to amend and or get through the legislature, but I can tell you what I have done is raise the profile of the need to address higher education affordability to a level that it has not been in the last 10 years. And I will continue to fight for those middle-class families that want to achieve the dream of sending their child to college and obtaining that college education.
Which was going to be my follow-up. You're not going to let this go away.
Oh, no. This is a significant issue for me personally, and one I think, again, is important for the long-term vitality of Texas.
Is this something that perhaps might be an interim topic?
Yes. In fact, I've been given the assurance by Chairman Seliger, who is the chairman of the Higher Education Committee on the Senate side, that they will be looking at this during the interim.
I'm going to let you continue the summary of things overall, but since we're on higher ed, if we can focus another moment or so on things that are of a particular interest to Texas A&M.
Sure. I think it was a home run session for Texas A&M. Not only did we have significant increased amounts of baseline funding, but through new research initiatives, the Texas Research University Fund, there'll be increased dollars flowing to Texas A&M above what they would have gotten over prior years. And then there were two new TRBs, or construction, you know, money that can be utilized for construction of needed buildings. One of them is the biocontainment research building, and the other one is a research and education building. Both of them will be in, of course, at the Bryan College Station campus. So, it's pretty unheard of to have two construction projects on the same campus, but A&M was very successful in that endeavor.
There was also something about a proposed charter school on the A&M campus. What's that about?
That was a bill I did author. It allows for institutions of higher education to establish charter schools outside of their home county. Right now, Texas A&M can have a charter school in Brazos County, but they can't have one in other counties. This will allow them to actually have establish a charter school in any county in the state of Texas, any of the 254 counties. And so you could have a Texas A&M charter school for primary education in every single county. And I think that's a great way to highlight Texas A&M as a leader in education, both higher education as well as public education, and increase, of course, the name awareness of Texas A&M. I think, a wonderful idea that I was very proud to author and help pass through the legislature.
Is that something where A&M will have to follow the same guidelines as other charter schools around the state, or is there a special set
of... Yes, they'll have to obtain a charter, certainly. But you know, I think having higher education involved in public education, primary education, I mean, is a good idea. And school choice is important to me. I think important to a lot of families and that want to see the best education for their children. And if they want the option of having a charter school, why not have a charter school that's actually A&M branded and it kind of has the philosophy of Texas A&M?
Something else going back to an overall summary, I see on your Twitter feed something called the Three Strikes Nursing Home Bill.
Right.
What's that about?
Bill, that was as chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee, I help lead a committee that sets the health care policy for the state of Texas. And one of my biggest concerns was protecting the innocent from abuse and neglect. And that's whether or not they're in nursing homes or in our CPS system or those that have intellectual or developmental disabilities. The Three Strikes proposal, which passed and has been signed by the governor, has to do with nursing homes that are not maintaining the standards that they need to and are putting those seniors, our parents and grandparents that are residing in nursing homes, at risk of abuse and neglect. And if they do not, if they have significant, not warnings, but significant violations three times over 24 months, that their license would be automatically revoked. That's why we call it the Three Strikes Bill.
Another bill dealing with trying to increase the number of mental health professionals in the state.
Right. You know, we have a deficit of workforce in mental health, and mental health is very important in the sense that if you don't have the ability to treat individuals with mental health diseases, then they're going to wind up in our emergency rooms and wind up in our jails. And one way to try to increase the workforce is to help pay some of the costs associated with their education, because many of those individuals that are in the mental health workforce, licensed professional counselors and social workers, even psychologists, are not highly compensated. And so to try to incentivize individuals getting into the mental health workforce to supply that needed care, one way to do so would be a partial loan repayment program while they're in their educational period. If they serve after obtaining their degree in a area that has a mental health workforce shortage, and there are certain areas of the state, a good portion of the state actually, over 200 of the 254 counties, have a mental health workforce shortage designation. So that bill passed, and I'm hopeful it will be helpful in supplying the mental health workforce that we need in Texas long term.
Would the biggest health-related issue during the session involve the reorganization of the Health and Human Services Commission?
Yes, that's right. And right now we have five different agencies, and after everything is said and done, that will go down to three agencies. And the idea is that we can gain efficiencies and streamline those services, those vital services that Texans need. And I think there is room for significant improvement. And so I'm very hopeful and proud of the work that's been done and hopeful that it's going to bear fruit. There will be a lot of continued oversight. In fact, there's a legislative oversight committee that will be set up to oversee this transition. It's not going to be a quick transition. It will happen over 4 years regarding the consolidation and reorganization and realignment of the various segments of our Health and Human Services enterprise. But I think it is important to get moving on it and to take those steps that in the end will be more cost effective and hopefully provide better services to those Texans that are in need of those services.
How's that transition and the oversight going to be impacted, at least at this stage, with the recent announcement of Dr. Janik's resignation?
Right. Well, we have a new executive commissioner that's been named. His is Chris Traylor. He is a gentleman that has worked with the enterprise for several decades now. I know him, of course, personally. I think he's an excellent candidate and leader for the reorganization and the transition. And I think Dr. Janik for his service, but you know, I believe there was thought that amongst certain legislators and then certainly the governor that there needed to be a transition to a new leadership team with this new endeavor. And so, again, his name is Chris Traylor, and he'll be the new executive commissioner, and I have full faith and confidence that he's going to do a great job.
It sounds as if he's been through several administrations within the agency. He's been through several administrations in the legislative branch as well, so perhaps the right person at the right time as this transition begins?
Yes. I've worked with him over the last three sessions, back when I was in the House and, of course, the two sessions I've been in the Senate. And, again, I know Commissioner Traylor very well. Before he was with HHSC, he was actually Commissioner of the Department of Aging and Disability Services. So he has a variety of experience in all the agencies. Again, I think he's the right man for that job.
What else have I missed regarding some of the things that you introduced that worked its way, some of the way or all the way through the session?
Well, I had a very high success rate of bills. We passed, I think you touched on some of the most important ones, protecting the innocent, the nursing home three strikes bill, and the E-Verify bill, and of course the charter school bill. That there were, I don't know, 30 or 40 bills total that had a very high pass rate. And you know, I focused a lot also on the budget as a member of the conference committee and in charge of kind of overseeing the Health and Human Services portion of the budget. That is where the cost driver is, and I'm proud of what we were able to do about making sure that we put appropriate resources to those areas of the Health and Human Services budget that needed that funding. But at the same time, using my personal background as a physician as well as a legislator, not spending taxpayer dollars frivolously on areas of the budget that were not needed to be spent on. And so, you know, our primary responsibility is passing that responsible and balanced budget that funds the state of Texas for the next 2 years. I'm glad and proud that we were able to do so in a very condensed time frame of 140 days.
And then it's been 24 hours since your name popped up on a Texas Monthly list.
Yeah, well, you know, Texas Monthly, I guess the editors are entitled to their opinion, but I really think they should probably stick to grading barbecue. You know, being a very strong conservative and leader, maybe they don't see eye to eye with some of my endeavors. But you know, I'm there to serve the people of Senate District 5 and you know, the citizens of Texas, and not necessarily make the best or worst list of Texas Monthly.
So what happens over the next few months in addition to maybe catching up with your family, maybe catching up with your practice a little bit?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of surgery recently. I'm back at work. I'll be out in the district talking to various groups that like to come have me speak. I believe I'll be speaking to the Bryan College Station Chamber sometime over the next couple of months, and certainly political groups as well, and maybe some other chambers and clubs. But you know, just kind of getting back to the normal routine of the interim, I like that because we're back in our district answering again for the things that we did or did not do, and I think that makes us better and stronger legislators for when we do go down to Austin.
Have I missed anything?
No. I think the people of Senate District 5 for their faith and confidence for allowing me to serve them as their state senator.